You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.
This is New Hampshire Now, 1 at 9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program this hour. The show is presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. In this segment of the show, presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's unique in New Hampshire. For more information, check out rathlaw.com. We're inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio, and I'm going to be joined on the program right now by U.S. Senator Christopher Coons from Delaware. He's in state today with Joe Biden, who is campaigning across the Granite State today. Senator Coons, how are you?
I'm great, Chris. Good to be on with you.
Great. Appreciate you joining us for the program. So we'll start off with this. Why Joe Biden in this particular environment? We've seen his poll numbers dip a little bit as of late. Not a great fundraising quarter in the third quarter, but he still is an individual that occupies that middle ground, that put your hand across the aisle, let's try to solve problems together type of attitude that, as you well know, doesn't really exist too much in Washington, D.C. anymore. And to me, that is important. But the question is, you know, still, is Biden the candidate for these times?
Well, Chris, I'll start off by just saying there are more than 70 polls that have happened in the last 6 months that show him with a commanding lead among Democrats running for president. There was a Fox News poll just last week that showed him 9 points ahead of Donald Trump in Wisconsin, beating Trump by a greater margin than any other Democrat in the race. Why is that? I think it's because Americans know Joe. They know his heart. They know his character. They know that in his long service in the United States Senate, his 8 years as vice president, he's gained the experience that's needed to heal the divisions in our country, to restore our place on the world stage, and to make real progress, to make good on the promises that President Trump made to the middle class, but that he hasn't delivered on so far. I've known Joe for a long time, and he's never forgotten where he came from. He grew up in hardscrabble towns in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Claymont, Delaware. He has been a tireless fighter for the middle class, and I think he would restore some of that sense of respecting each other, hearing each other, that's really long been the soul of our nation, our ability to work together across our differences, and to put country above party. That's why I'm here in New Hampshire campaigning with Joe today, is I think he absolutely would be the best next president for the United States.
Is there a concern in your view, particularly in light of Bernie Sanders' situation, where we wish Bernie obviously the best, a colleague of yours, individual who I've gotten to know very well over the last couple of campaign cycles. He's going to be scaling back his campaign. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't think a lot of people know at this point after having a heart attack on the campaign trail last week. And that has risen, it brought new concerns in regards to the age of Bernie, obviously, and Vice President Biden as well. Do you have those concerns?
Well, Senator Sanders, who's a great colleague, certainly campaigns with more energy and more heart and determination than anyone
such passion,
has ever seen.
Yes.
He throws himself into his campaign, and I am certainly hoping for a quick and full recovery for Bernie. I think we've got a number of candidates in the front tier, senators from two adjacent states and the senator from my home state, who've got a lot of energy and vision and capability. Any one of them, I think, would be a significant improvement over President Trump. But the reality is we've got folks who are asking not just who can win the primary, but who can win the general, not just who can win the general election, but who can really help lead our country. And no disrespect to my great colleagues who are also running. There's quite a few senators still in this race. I think Joe's the person who's got that right combination of character, of heart, of caring, of values, and bold plans that would actually make a real difference for the middle class that's still looking for who's the right answer for the future.
Yeah, I think it's significant that you are with Joe as well, because we have obviously Senator Hassan and Senator Shaheen who are not going to be endorsing because they have so many colleagues that are in this race. Senator Hassan told me just a few weeks ago when I was down in D.C. that she truly loves all these individuals and would be really happy with any of them who are president. We talked about Senator Bennett, who's coming up in just a little bit on the show here, and how capable he is. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big challenge for individuals when you have so many of your colleagues that are running, but you've obviously stood with Joe Biden. Want to transition a little bit into what's taking place, both from a national and international level at this point, and also in regards to impeachment. I want to start with what's taking place in Syria. And to me, this is one of the lowest points, and it seems like we say this on a pretty much a weekly, if not daily, basis of the of the Trump administration. And I think that that is made incredibly clear by the fact that Republicans have come out on both the House and Senate side the way they have, because this is us walking away from American values. And I've said this in the past when with other administrations, it is so important that when we establish allies and tell our allies that we're going to be walking side by side with them, and then they step forward and take risks that the lives of themselves, their families, in order to try to create a better environment for themselves, but do so under the belief that America is going to be there to stand side by side with them. We're going to see a lot of individuals who have stood side by side with us killed as a result of this president's decision to allow Turkey to invade Syria and to kill our Kurdish allies.
Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. This is a terrible decision. When President Trump first made an abrupt decision to abandon our Kurdish allies in Syria, he did so without informing or consulting our NATO allies, who were actually conducting combat operations alongside us at the time. And I'll remind you, Secretary Jim Mattis, a decorated four-star Marine Corps general who served in many theaters for the United States over a lifetime of service, resigned in protest. And if anyone questions whether that was a forceful resignation, go read his resignation letter. I've joined senators in my party and the other party, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, both the majority and minority leaders, in denouncing this abandonment of the Kurds in the face of Turkish aggression. And bluntly, what it will most likely lead to is thousands of hardened ISIS fighters who are currently in detention being guarded by Kurdish soldiers. Will be released if the Turks flood over the border and start massacring Kurds. The Kurds are going to go defend their own families and their own villages, and there is no plan for a transition here. This was an abrupt decision made against the best advice of military and diplomatic leaders, and to me it just reinforces how erratic and unconventional President Trump can be. This is another reason why I think Joe Biden, with his long experience in foreign affairs, would be a great leader for the country. I have traveled with both Senator Shaheen and Senator Hassan. You're blessed here in New Hampshire to be represented by two terrific, capable senators with a lot of experience in armed services and foreign relations, both here at home in dealing with the opioid crisis and strengthening healthcare, and with seeing and strengthening our role in the world abroad. And I think both of them would agree that our next president needs to be someone who's able to lead on the world stage and to bring our allies back closer to us. I happen to think that that right next person is Joe Biden.
It's interesting because the president has obviously leveled accusations against Joe Biden in regards to his own behavior and with the Ukrainian president, and has stuck with that. But the fact of the matter is that you look at just about every decision that this president makes, and it is one that has a, in my view, a business tie to it. And President Erdogan in Turkey has had a business relationship with Donald Trump, and that's clear. And to me, you look at this decision, and I don't really see anything other than that as being a rational explanation for why we are doing this. How do you see it?
Well, Donald Trump made a lot of campaign promises. One of them was that he'd build a wall and Mexico would pay for it. As everyone's seen, there's no chance that Mexico is paying for any part of our border security. Another was that he would end wars in the Middle East and bring home our troops. My hope is that there is still a small chance that he will reverse himself and recognize that many of the campaign promises he made were not well informed. And this is an instance where by pulling out the small number of American troops who are protecting our Kurdish allies, the beneficiaries will be Iran and Russia and the murderous regime of Bashar al-Assad. Erdogan is not committed to the fight against ISIS. I have met with him personally. We had a fairly striking conversation about this. He is obsessed with defeating the Kurds, and frankly, I do not think is a reliable ally to the United States in our work against ISIS. And I think this was just a snap judgment that Donald Trump made.
But
I'll
why?
Remind you,
why
he
side
is the
with...
first president in American history with no prior service, either military or elected? And I think he makes decisions in a whimsical way, in an ill-informed way, and even at times in a way that's designed to advance his own political interest at the expense of our national security.
Yeah, I just can't, you know, and I've looked at this a number of different ways. I can't land on why he would make this particular decision. I understand what you're saying in regards to bringing troops out of the Middle East. That's what he's said as well, endless wars and so forth. But there are certain strategic placements that keep the world and the United States safe. And this is one of them, and it creates concerns in regards to ISIS. And I don't know why you know, you'd be siding with Erdogan. There's, of course, the Michael Flynn relationship with Turkey as well. I think there's perhaps something else there. But we'll transition to one more thing before we let you go, and that is the plausibility of impeachment. And we've seen Mitt Romney speak out. We've seen individuals become senators on the House and Senate side upset with the president, but taking the next steps has not been there as of yet. You know your colleagues very well. What is the plausibility of a conviction in the Senate?
Well, what I expect to begin hearing more and more from my Republican colleagues is the position that Senator Rob Portman of Ohio just took, which was Rob said publicly that it was inappropriate for President Trump to pressure the president of Ukraine to investigate his chief political rival, Joe Biden, but that he doesn't think it rises to the level of an impeachable offense. I don't see how that's a coherent position. Inviting foreign intervention into our own election, abusing the power of the office of president and the leverage made available to him by holding up military aid to Ukraine, which for more than 5 years has faced withering attacks from Russian-supported separatists strikes me as obviously inappropriate. But that's a decision each senator is going to have to make. And frankly, I don't think we'll know for sure where the Senate comes out on this until the House completes its inquiry. If they do and they vote out articles of impeachment and send them over to the Senate, we'll be acting as a jury. Unlike most trials, this is one where we know the jury in advance, and given recent behavior, I think it's highly unlikely that a Republican majority Senate led by Mitch McConnell will remove President Trump. In fact, Senator McConnell has started making this his campaign reelection pitch at home in Kentucky, that as long as he's majority leader, Trump won't be removed. So I think it's important, Chris, that we focus on the general election as well, on the things that I hear from folks here in New Hampshire as I was door knocking in Manchester and making phone calls from the Biden-Dover office here on the Seacoast last night. Folks are concerned about the opioid crisis, about prescription drug costs, about affordability of higher education, about tackling climate change. We have to keep legislating in those areas. The House has. The House has sent over a dozen strong bipartisan bills on issues from fighting gun violence to combating climate change. They have died in the Senate because Leader McConnell, Republican Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, won't give them a vote. But we have to remind folks that if Democrats were in charge again, if we regain the White House, we're not just interested in investigations. We're interested in moving the country forward. Right. This impeachment investigation in the House is about holding the president accountable, but we also have a strong legislative agenda. And Joe Biden's got the kind of bold plans that I think are enactable and would allow us to make progress on issues from health care to gun violence to climate change.
Senator Coons, I really appreciate your time. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you. Great being on with you, Chris. Take care.
That is Senator Chris Coons from Delaware here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I'm Chris Ryan. This hour, the program presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. And that segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli and Rath Law. newhampshirenow.com.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill.